Let's open our Bible to begin with to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And what I want to do is continue just for a moment with the passage that Gabe read. And that is not the passage from which our message tonight, or our lesson tonight, will be from. But it's about Christ and about that rock. And I see that we need to read this before we begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. What Gabe just read to us back in Exodus 17 was not a story about a rock. It was a story about our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a story about a bunch of rebels who did not believe God, who would not trust God, and who in rebellion stood up against Moses, and God was still yet merciful to them. Two things I want to look at from this Exodus chapter 17, and then we're going to be turning to Numbers chapter 20. But two things I want us to take note. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand and go. The first thing I want us to notice, that the Lord told Moses, take thy rod that you used in judgment in Israel, and you smote the river, and you turned it into blood. You see, the rod of Moses represents to us the law and judgment of God. And the Lord told Moses, you take that rod and that you smote the river with, and you smite that rock. Verse 6, behold, I will stand before thee there, and see where the Lord will be standing, upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water of it, and the people may drink. So where was our Lord when Moses smote that rock? He was upon that rock. So when Moses smote that rock, the Lord smote our Lord Jesus Christ in judgment. Now, turn with me over to Numbers chapter 20. Now this is the second account. And can you imagine, can you believe that there must be a second account? That these people, having seen Moses before, having been dying of thirst and in the wilderness, they eat manna from heaven. They drunk water from the rock. They walked across on dry land when the Lord called them out of Egypt. And then now, here again, they're thirsty. And we would imagine, we would think, that all they'd have to do is go to Moses and say, Moses, we're thirsty again. But let's read this account. Numbers chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, in the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Here we go again. And the people chose with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we would have died with our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come out of Egypt, to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or figs, or vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and to their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And as I said, this is now the second account. You would think that past mercies for sin would have effect on us. And you would think that past judgments would have effect on us. But our hearts are so depraved and so wicked that it doesn't. And I would say this evening, that any man who would look at these people right here and say, if that would have been me, I would not have murmured. If I would have seen water come from the rock the first time, then I would have believed the second time, especially since I seen manna come from heaven and I seen the sea divide. Anybody who might think for one second that you would have done otherwise, you have learned nothing about your own heart. If I would have been there, I would have murmured against God. That is what the law has taught me about me. Now, the first thing I want us to see here, let us look again at verse Number 5, Numbers chapter 20, verse 5. Now notice what the people here in verse 5. And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt and to bring us unto this evil place? Notice what they said. It is no place of seed. Who are they talking to? They're talking to Moses. Who is Moses? Moses is the lawgiver. So we see that the law has brought these people into a place where it is no place for seed. In other words, it does not matter how much they labor and toil in the ground. The law has brought them to a place where none of their works will do them of any good, of any value. The law, Moses, with his rod, has led them into the desert, has led them into a place where there is nothing that they can do. And now they look at the law and they say, The law, you've brought me here, and there's nothing I can do for myself. Now let's look at verse 8. So verse 7, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod And gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Now verse 8, take the rod. And I got to study in this rod. And did you know that this is not the rod of Moses that the Lord told him to take? That rod of Moses that smote that rock back in Exodus, and that rod that he smote that river with is not the same rod here that the Lord says to him, take the rod and speak to the rock. And if the Lord will enable me, if the Lord will help me tonight, I'm going to try to go from number 16 and 17 and show you this rod. This is the rod of Aaron. Take the rod of Aaron. Take the rod of the mediator, because you're going to speak to the rock. And to speak to that rock, you need a mediator. Turn with me to Numbers 16. And our story begins here. I had to go all the way back to chapter 16, which begins with Korah. Let me turn over to Jude myself. I want to read you something. This passage has reference to it from Jude. First, let me read you verse 4 of Jude. For there are certain men crept unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And speaking of them, verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So we're going to hook up. We're going to go from Korah to this rod, okay? So we begin in chapter 16 and verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kehath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. Verse 2, and they rose up before Moses. They rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation of renown. So what we have here is Korah. He is a Levite. He's of the tribe of Levi. And what they have done is they have raised up against Moses. The Lord has given the responsibility of the children of Israel to Moses. Now, look at verses 3 and 4. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, take you too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. You see how religious they're speaking? Every one of them, and the Lord is among them, these false prophets are speaking. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? In other words, what they're saying is, all these people are holy. Who are you to make yourself rule over these people? You see, they are jealous of the power or the authority, rather, that God has given Moses to lead these people, and they're lifting themselves, men of renown, Korah and 250 others. Okay? Now, verse 8. This is Moses' response to these men. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray ye, you sons of Levi. Remember, we just said they were sons of Levi. The Levites are the servants of the Lord in the temple, or rather in the tabernacle. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord? In other words, the Lord has blessed you, in that he's already put you in the service of the tabernacle. Is that a small thing to you? And see what else he says. Is that a small thing to you? and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he hath brought thee near to him and all the brethren of the sons of Levi with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also. You see, they were not content. They were not content simply being in the service of the Lord. They sought the priesthood. They sought the office of mediator. They sought to stand in the place of Aaron, the high priest, who represents our Lord Jesus Christ. They sought his office. Now, let's continue. In verses 16 and 17, what Moses says here is okay. Let's read the verses. And Moses said unto Korah, "Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron, and tomorrow, and take every man his censer and put incense in it, and bring you before the Lord every man his censer, 250th censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer." So what Moses has said to these men, you come together with censers, and we'll bring Aaron together, and we'll see which one of you can stand in the office of priesthood. We'll let the Lord prove this matter. So what Moses has done is said, okay, we're going to prove this matter. Let's see who stands before the Lord and is accepted. Verse 18, "And they took every man his censer and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron." Verse 19, "And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Korah turned the congregation against Moses. He wasn't content that simply that the Lord would choose Aaron. He turned the congregation against Moses. And see what happens. Verse 19. "And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron," verse 20, "saying," 21, "separate yourselves from among this congregation that I might consume them in a moment." In other words, God said, "Moses, Aaron, get away from these people. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill every one of them. My judgment is going to fall on this people for their rebellion, and I'm going to kill them." Now look at verse 22. "And they," speaking of Moses and Aaron, "fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?" Verse 23, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went into Dathan and Abiram, and to the elders of the Israel, and followed them." Verse 26, "And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing that is theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." In other words, Moses went to the Lord and pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, you send the congregation away. You send every man to his tent. You send every man to his tent. And then verse 28 and 29, Moses tells these people, if these men live, if these men, if Korah, these 250, and Dathan, if these men live and die of old age, then I'm a liar. But if they die, then the Lord has put me in this place. And immediately, the ground opens up with these wicked men standing at their tent doors. And it consumes these men and their families, their children, their wives, and it sucks them into the ground. And they're dead. Every one of them. without exception. What do you imagine the reaction of these people might be? They just seen the Lord kill three men, three leaders, and 250 of their followers. They seen the ground open up, swallow these men in, and close the ground. Now what's the reaction? Look at verse 41. But on the morrow, on this next day, on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." How wicked. How wicked is man? This is the seed of Adam, the first Adam right here. They just seen the Lord open up the ground and swallow 253 men and their families. And the very next day, he says, "Moses, you've killed God's prophets." The reaction, verse 44. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among the congregation, that I might consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces." The Lord said, "Moses, get away from these people. I'm going to kill every one of them." Moses said unto Aaron, verse 46, "Take the censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put it on incense, and go quickly into the congregation and make atonement for them. For there is wrath gone from the Lord, and the plague has begun." In other words, Moses looks at Aaron and says, "Aaron, grab the censer and run through the people as fast as you can. Hurry! God's wrath is falling." And you remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 when it spoke of that rock being Christ? This incense here, this censer, this too speaks of Christ. Moses is saying, "Aaron, run through the camp with that incense, with the fire." In other words, that incense represents Christ, that he might smell and sense the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might know that sin has been put away. These people are going to die unless they have a mediator. These people are going to die unless there's a sacrifice. Aaron, run through the congregation and stop the wrath of God. And look what happens. Verse 27, "And Moses took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle with the congregation, and the plague was stayed." Now this continues from chapter 16 in the verse 17. But verse 17 begins with mercy and grace. Let's first read, beginning in verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod, according to the house of the fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, and write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. And I will make a cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. In other words, what the Lord has said, you take a rod out of each tribe, and you write the name of every tribe on each of those 12 rods. When you come to the rod of Levi, you write Aaron's name on that rod. And the next time that these people murmur against me, that rod is going to prevent. That rod is going to stop my wrath. I just killed 14,700. I just opened the ground from Korah and devoured 253 men and their families. Mercy and grace. These rebels, there's mercy and grace for these rebels. Verse 6, and Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince won according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Now let's turn back to Numbers chapter 20. Now we're going to look at this rod again in just a second. But first, I want us to read verse 6 again. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence in the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. And notice, the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Now, if you look back in verse 16, when the glory of the Lord appeared, verse 19, Numbers 16, verse 19, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, separate yourselves from among the congregation, that I may consume them in a minute. Here, in chapter 20, when the presence of the Lord appears, the glory of the Lord appears, there's no judgment. In 16, when the glory of the Lord appeared, there was judgment. And the children of Korah, and Korah and his families, they were all destroyed. And then again, when the glory of the Lord appeared, there in chapter 16, the latter part, there was 14,700 that died. But now, here in verse 6, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And what takes place now? Verse 8, take the rod. This is the rod of Aaron. This is the rod that the Lord had provided back in 17, that the people not die. This rod is a rod of sovereign mercy. It's a rod of sovereign grace. Take that rod and speak to that rock that you smote with your rod. Remember Moses' rod? Moses' rod was a rod of wrath. But take the rod of mediation. Take the rod of Aaron and just speak to that rock. I'm not going to kill these people. There's not a one of them going to die. I'm going to give water to every single one of them. They murmured before, and I killed 14,700. They murmured before, and I killed 253 families and all their men. But this time they murmur, I'm going to give them water. And that water is Christ. Turn with me to Isaiah 41. Read verses 17 and 18. Oh. Verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Our Lord is so merciful to sinners. And that's our message. Our Lord is merciful to ruined sinners. Brother Gage.